It's here on the Afternoon Show, 90.3 FM, KEXP in Seattle. I'm Kevin Cole, and down in the performance space with Charlotte Gainsbourg and band. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks.
It's nice to have you here. You have a sold-out show tonight at the Crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an extra special treat for listeners who aren't able to get into the show to hear some of the music live.
Right.
So appreciate you being here to do that. How about a couple songs to start?
Sure.
Escalator into the ground.
Charlotte Gainsbourg and band live in studio, kind of a stripped down acoustic version of a couple songs, Me and Jane Doe and Heaven Can Wait, both of which are on the new album IRM, and doing a sold out show tonight at the Crocodile. Sounded fantastic.
Thank you.
And the album is just so incredibly luscious. It's one of those records that the more you listen to, the more it just kind of sinks your teeth, its teeth into you.
Oh,
it's beautiful. On the new album, you collaborated with Beck primarily. He seems incredibly prolific, yet sort of mysterious. What was he like to work with?
That's true. It was just incredible. He did everything. He did the lyrics, the music, everything. And we saw each other for a year and a half, and I went back and forth from Paris to Los Angeles to see him. And we just recorded mostly in his house. Which made it very easy and friendly. I think he did everything so that I would feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible to watch him work.
Would you work on like song concepts or ideas, and did you meet prior to that to kind of discuss the overall parameter or goal of the record? Or?
No, we mainly just did it once I was there, and of course discussing things, I came up with just the idea I had of the MRI sound that I wanted to do something with, but I didn't know how. So I think the idea meant something to him, and sort of we got both excited by those sounds and just picked a little sample of an MRI experience. And if not, I just had titles, little words here and there, and of course I had been through an accident, so talking about memories and the brain and all that aspect was logical.
That's what seems really interesting in the way you describe the collaboration, because the record feels so deeply personal.
It is, but he wrote everything. And what I liked also was that a song like Me and Jane Doe is very, it has images of landscapes of America that are very, very far away from me and really his culture. And so I like this, both having personal stuff in, of course, and things that are very, very far away from me.
Right, right. What, was it... radically different for you than the last record, which you had a number of different writers work on?
Well, it was mostly edited, all the music, and then Jarvis Cocker came in quite late in the process, but he did nearly all the songs, and Neil Hannon did a few.
Mm-hmm.
But that's it. It's true that I was working with a lot of people, with Nigel Godrich also, and it made a whole crew. This time it was... mainly, I was just in front of Beck and a sound engineer, and it was very private.
It seems that way, and probably a very relaxed way to work.
Yeah,
where you don't have to feel under pressure on the spot. You
no,
just
it's
have
true.
A plane
there was
ticket.
No pressure. We had the leisure of being able to go from a ballad song to something more electronic, and then do something more pop. It was always changing, and that's what I liked. The sort of the eclectic thing about the album, that's what I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, tell me a bit about the accident, or at least how that manifested in the work and
the
album.
I didn't know I wanted to talk about it, really. It just happened, and then I had 6 months to recover from that, and then I met Beck.
What was it like being told you should be dead?
I got scared much later on. It was so immediate. I had to go through surgery, and it was very dramatic and
didn't have time to think about it.
So I didn't have the time. But then, when I was better and all was finished, that's when I started to panic.
It's post all of that. you've been in a lot of movies. You've made like 30 movies in the last 25 years. But in the last year at Cannes, you won the Best Actress Award for your role in Lars von Trier's pretty controversial work, Antichrist. And so that's happened since then, and this album. So having that kind of near-death experience, does that awaken you in a way? Was that part of the motivation to do this work and to get work out?
Wasn't conscious, no. But it helped. It helped to recover. That I know that shooting the film with Lars was so intense, and that I needed that to forget about my own problems and my own health issues. So it was a great thing to just dive into that film.
What's more intense, making a movie or an album?
I don't know. It depends on the project. Some songs were, I felt very intense, like The Collector, and I don't know, things that were very, a bit more dramatic in my mind. Some films, like Lars's film, was very, very intense, of course, but I've done not a lot, but a few comedies that were very light to shoot.
It's absolutely fascinating. The story is incredible. Do you feel, over the span of those 25 years, you've made so many movies and just three albums, your first with your father when you were like 12 or 13, do you consider yourself a musician?
No.
Do you consider yourself an actress?
Not really. No, I've always, I find it difficult to go with the status of being a singer or being an actress. I know I've done it for a long time, but for me it doesn't really mean anything. It's not modesty, it's just each time I start a film, I have the impression that I'm a beginner. Mm-hmm. And I like that impression. And with the singing, well, it is my first time touring, so it's a first experience. I'm very new.
Yeah, so your work tends to be driven by what the experience is going to be overall.
Yeah.
tell me about touring, because this is your first real tour.
Yeah.
What made you want to do that, and why did it take so long?
I think we started discussing it a little bit with Beck, and I knew that I wanted to do something. I didn't really know how, and he helped me. Then Brian came in, Brian who's here.
You have a great band here, by
the way.
Yeah,
they're all great. And he sort of made it possible because he found the band. And I discussed it with Beck quite a lot. And he was very, he pushed me a little bit, which was nice because I needed that. Before, I didn't feel I was ready with Air, just because they were touring while I was releasing the album we did together, and I couldn't imagine going on stage without them. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really a possibility for me.
How has the experience been so far?
It's been great. It's very exciting, sort of thrilling and nerve-wracking at the same time.
And you have a series of West Coast shows, including Coachella.
Yes.
Is that one of the sort of high water marks of the tour in terms of something to look forward to? Is it different to play a big festival like that?
I've never been there, I've heard a lot of things about it. I'm very happy to go and to listen to other people too. So I don't know what to expect, really. I have no idea. I don't want to expect too much and not put too much pressure on my shoulders, but yeah. I'm happy to go there.
That's a great way to operate. Your father, incredibly influential musician, and as I mentioned, you worked on your first album with him when you were like 12 or 13, I think. Prior to that, what was your first real musical memory associated with your dad?
It was a terrible song called Let Me Go It, which is his worst song. So he was really ashamed that was my favorite, but it was childish and funny.
Yeah. Yeah. How did it go?
I can't sing it. It's horrible.
Your dad just did so much incredible work and was such a controversial person when he was alive. He passed away in 1991. since then, it seems like his work has been really embraced and acknowledged and
it's
recognized.
True. Yeah. Well, especially here, because in France he became a real success very late in his life, but he lived it. I mean, he was aware of it. And thank God he was. But then the discovery that people made of his work here was a great surprise, and that happened really late, yeah, in the past, 10, 15 years?
More so, yeah. Mm. How do you think he would have reacted or responded?
I think he would have been very, very proud of himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he'd
be... He was a great fan of English-American music.
I think he'd be very proud of you and your record as well. Charlotte Gainsbourg, live in studio here. Do you mind playing a couple more songs?
No, sure.
Gainsbourg, live in studio, beautiful version of Time of the Assassins. It's on the new album, IRM.
Rider riding from the morning tide.
figure, I see your shadow laughing, transatlantic. There's no one there. It's no cold comfort with your conscious calling. XXTIs, CC rider riding from the morning tide to the far horizon. Sick, sick the wolves and hope they don't get ugly. Your trick pony, he don't know me, he don't know me at all.
Charlotte Gainsbourg live in studio here on the afternoon show, KEXP. Trick Pony, the name of the track from IRM. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Fantastic. And thank you. Band sounds awesome.
Thank you.
And playing tonight, sold out show, that is at the Crocodile. So again, thanks for letting listeners have a little glimpse of what they're going to be missing tonight.
Yeah.
And tomorrow night at the Wonder Ballroom in Portland. Have a great tour.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. And let's check out a cover of one of your father's songs. This is Luna with Bonnie and Clyde, KEXP.